All right. Good morning, everyone. It is 11:05. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Leon County Research and Development Authority Board of Governors meeting. It is Thursday, August 1st. So calling the meeting in order, or do we have any no guests today? Okay. Approval participation is any nobody's online. Any modifications to the agenda?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to pass around for one final. What the plaque's going to look like, and give anybody, we cannot erase bronze, so I want to make sure that you like it is. So,
all right, you're welcome to pass that around. I don't know that necessarily needs to be a change to the agenda. Okay, moving on. Did we receive any public comment?
We did not.
All right. Everybody's had a chance to, I know the meeting minutes for June 13 had been disseminated. I know everybody's had a chance to review. Are there any edits? Hearing none, they stand approved. Item number 7, the consent agenda. Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
Consent has been moved.
Second.
Been seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, the consent is approved. Item number 8, election of officers for FY24-25. The executive committee had the chance to talk about this last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I have thoroughly enjoyed serving this board as chair. I'm looking forward to being the immediate past chair. I'd like to entertain a motion that Tom Allen be elected as the next chair, Ann Longman as the vice chair, and Dave Ramsey as the another term as treasurer.
Second.
Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Second. Moved?
Second.
Properly seconded. Is there discussion? No discussion. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to take one moment and thank you for the leadership you have given us in the last 3 years.
Well, I appreciate
that. We've gone through some real turmoil. We've gone through some wrenching decisions. You have got us there to where we are today, and I compliment you for that.
You're very gracious. I appreciate that. And thank you for all that you do in terms of keeping us smart on our finances. We appreciate the work that you do, particularly with INE. It's been a lot that's gone on, so thank you. And Tom, best of luck, my friend. And welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Item number 9, Treasury Report. Dave?
A couple of favorable things I'll discuss first in this. If you have available to you, or if you've seen the balance sheet, let's go first to the income statement. I'm real pleased to talk about the first 9 months. First 9 months, we were right at $987,000 of revenue against the plan of right under $662,000. So revenue is up by $324,000. That's very favorable. I did commend staff on keeping their eye on revenue opportunities and making new things happen for us that they present themselves. The other favorable is the expense line. The expense for the first 9 months, $290,000. Plan was $224,000. So we are... I'm on a long line. Yeah. Expenses are $149,149,000. So expenses are under plan by $52,000. So the good thing is we're ahead on revenue and we're behind on expenses. Now, those two really favorable things do not offset the fact that we're still spending more money every month than we're bringing in. And the concern is there that after 9 months, we are $162,000 more expenditures than of revenues. Now that includes some non-operating revenues of expenditures such as accrued interest and amortization, but still $162,000 short of our revenues. So that's the concern. If you look at where we're going on the laboratory here, we have $95,000 worth of expenses and no revenue. So those are concerns I have as well. Combine those two, Innovation Park and the laboratory, we're running right at $250,000 under revenue. Expenses exceeding revenue by $250,000 for 9 months. Those are concerning numbers, but they should not be a surprise to us. We've talked about them in previous meetings, but the red ink continues to flow and flow pretty good. We are making about $6,000 a month in interest income on our investment portfolio, so that's good. But we're spending more than that on the interest we have on our loan to Florida State University Foundation. So those two, interest income and interest expenses, do not offset favorably. I will report to you that cash has decreased from last month. In May, we had $186,000 in operating cash. In June, we have $116,000 in operating cash. So cash continues to go down as well. Our investment portfolio still is looking good. We have $1,346,000 in the investments, earning about $6,000 a month in interest. So that's helping slightly, but not nearly enough. We don't have any issues with 90-day past dues that aren't acceptable, over only about $1,000, and those are to people we know that will get paid. Mr. Chair, I present to you the finance report for the month, for the 9 months of ending in June 30.
Dave, thank you. Are there questions, comments, or otherwise, Dave?
Dave, what was the number again for the investment account?
The investment total at June 30th, $1,346,000. I also mentioned then, after giving that report, that the Budget Committee for the coming year will meet September the 17th at 10 o'clock. Any board member who'd like to attend that is welcome. But at this point in time, that meeting has been noticed.
I'm sorry, what was the date?
September 17th at 10 o'clock. Mr. Chair, I conclude my report.
Very good.
The staff has a couple of comments to add to that area, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's worth pointing out that, as David said, the combined NFIL and LCRDA, if you guys recall, we separated those for budget purposes, and we are $250,000 to the negative, revenues less expenses. The budget for that period of time was to be negative $773,000. So we're $500,000 to the good. The overwhelming majority of that is the result of the fact that we did not staff up the lab. Right? I mean, that's the main thing. We have zero revenue, but we also don't have $350,000 of expenses for the first 6 months of the year. So I think that's worth pointing out. Still consuming cash, to be sure, but we're burning it at a much slower rate than we had anticipated.
We're a shade, looks like we're going to be a shade ahead of your 1 point.
The revenue side?
Yeah. For what we're going to have at the end of the year.
Cash-wise?
Yeah.
I'll cover that. Yeah, we're going to end the year probably a little bit north of 1.5 million bucks in cash, the fiscal year.
Right.
Very good.
I'll take the next couple, if that's okay.
Please, please.
Just a reminder to everybody, I know I covered this in exec. I apologize if I covered this prior to board meeting. We have fully funded or drawn the FSU line of credit that we received from those guys. That $4 million is now fully funded. The first payment under that line is due June of 2025, and that is an interest-only payment. As David mentioned, we don't have an interest cash impact right now on that line because it's accrual only. But that interest does accrete every month, and you'll see on the balance sheet it's up to $200,000 in interest. Yeah. So that first payment will be interest only June of 25, and then principal payments are scheduled to start under the current terms of that line in June of 26. And that's a $4 million line of credit. As I mentioned earlier, I do predict us to end the fiscal year 9/30 with about $1.5 million in cash in the bank. And now when I talk about cash, David mentioned specifically operating account. I'm talking about operating and our money market account. Obviously, those are our accounts we control that we would spend as we needed. I'm leaving as much money as I can in the money market account as long as I can, because it does accrue interest, and that's cash interest.
Real quick, yes, back on C, if we're fully funded and it's accruing the interest,
yep,
and you said that there's a couple $100,000 that has accrued up to this point, our ending cash balance at the end of this year is 1.5.
Correct.
How
that,
long?
That includes investments, though.
Yes. So all cash.
At what point would the accruing of interest on the line of credit essentially wipe out our cash? What is that? That's probably a year and a half.
You know, it's at four, call it a blended 3% on $4 million, so it's 120 grand a year.
Okay.
It's kind of
okay. So, okay. Yeah.
Remember, no principal.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good.
It's probably 3.5% because parts at 2.98, parts at 4.
All right.
What's the Research Foundation's position when we run out of money and our bill hadn't been paid?
They've got a secured interest in the building. Yeah, I mean, just like the foreclosure, if you want to look at it from the purely financial transaction, they've got a secondary interest to the EDAs. They're supporting it.
Okay.
Again, just the budget process, just so everybody knows, David mentioned we're going to have a meeting. Aini and Stephanie are starting that exercise. The assumptions I have instructed them to work with are that the legacy buildings, and I mean Collins, Phipps, Johnson, Morgan, and Knight, will be off of our books no later than 9/30. So from a budgetary perspective for the next fiscal year, we will have no really ongoing operating costs for those five buildings.
Hit those four, five again.
Collins, Johnson, Morgan, Phipps, and Knight. Okay. My other assumption is that we will have NFIL operating expenses through the end of the year. Now, I could turn out to be wrong on both of those. It could happen sooner, it could happen later, but we have to have some assumptions to work with to put together a budget for the fiscal period. So those are the working assumptions. We'll see what happens. I'll give you a little more update on why I think I feel pretty good about the legacy buildings, the NFIL and all those things. The timing is a bit squishier, but I have to, again, it's incumbent upon me to make an assumption to put together a budget. Just to give everybody an update, early in the month on July 1st, we pulled $464,000 of that $1.3 million out of our money market account. The reason we did that is that as we were working with the EDA to get our last payment, the $1.2 million, they told us everybody had to be paid in full. They would not offer a final payment until we had paid everybody in full. So we pulled that money out. 2 days later, we paid Culpepper and L&W. Then we submitted our final request to the EDA, which we received earlier this week, that $1.2 million. I paid back the money market $464,000 we took out and added another $675,000. So as David mentioned, 1.3 at the end of June, the number at the end of July is actually 2.2 million and change in that money market account, which will generate hopefully $9 grand a month in interest for the near term until we start using it. And we have $180,000 or $190,000 now in our I left a little money in our operating account, and I actually left some money in the NFIL construction account for a handful of things we're going to do still in the new building that really don't fall under an FF&E kind of cost. And I'm unwilling to use the FF&E money for anything that isn't a super clean FF&E. Just PCC got that advanced those funds. If they ever get audited, I want that to be nothing ambiguous about that.
Perfect.
Sorry about all that. Any questions on any of that information on the financial side for me? Okay.
All right.
I'll keep moving. And guys, like you guys all know, I talk fast. So please stop or have a question if you ask a question if you have it. Punch list on the lab building. We've still got a couple of HVAC items they're working through. There's a number of doors that, for whatever reason, can't lock or don't lock correctly. There's a water heater issue that was resolved this morning, as I've been told. Well, time will tell. We do have hot water now. We didn't earlier. So that's a step in the right direction. But we really, there's very few items left to be dealt with from the general contractor perspective. We're still doing some AV stuff in the building, of course. We have been fully funded on the appropriation from TCC. All $1.5 million has been received. We still at present have $744,000 of that in the bank to spend on FF&E. We've got some tail expenses, frankly, on the AV systems that are not complete all the way. We owe them some payments. We're doing some biosafety 2 work and some iWatch stations that we're adding. Those things we'll use a little bit for, but the expectation, and we have represented to FSU that we should have $300,000 to $400,000 at least by the time we're done with some of those things, that we want to jointly look at what makes the best use of those funds to maximize the lab's attractiveness to tenants or potential tenants. So they're aware that we're going to be there. As I mentioned, the EDA final request was submitted on July 3rd, and we received it earlier this week. That was the last $1.239. So we have no more money coming in from the EDA in regards to the building. Included in the materials that you were sent for the board meeting, Peggy included a document with the FSU, an MOU between the LCRDA and FSU. And basically the gist of that argument, the MOU, is they are in charge of the operations of the lab. We remain responsible for the utility bill, landscaping, janitorial. They are taking over the vetting of potential candidates. They are taking the whole selection, the protocol, the EH&S, all of those things. FSU is going to be in charge of that until the transfer is complete. They are funding that with their payroll. It is not our payroll. We are only funding this infrastructure, if you will. They are hiring people right now. They've got a lab manager in the works. They've hired a programming person already. They're working on a marketing person. So they are spooling up to run this place, which is sparing us, you know, much in the way of dollars and resources and just the EH&S benefits. There's just programs and things we don't have that we can't possibly provide. So again, that document's in there. And they also we get agreed to 4 offices or 6 offices that they will use free of charge while their people are working here. And then we also drafted a lease for the RDA that's immediately effective upon transfer for the 4 offices in the top left corner for 36 months at no charge. So the RDA has a place to sit once we get kicked out of Collins when we transfer to FAMU. So I included the operation agreement. I did not include the lease. It's basically had 6 offices listed and 0 charge. I think that if anybody would like to see it, you're welcome to it. Any questions on that NFIL?
That's huge.
That's why we're able to keep our paper. That was why we don't have split. And frankly, we were having challenge potentially getting candidates because of the long-term expectations. FSU has a much easier chance and the ability to hire talent. It's an more attractive position, frankly, if you're going to be part of an R1 institution than the Research and Development Authority. Mm-hmm. On the RDA side, giving everybody an update on the DEP and the submittal status. I submitted a letter on July 3rd. Turns out that was a busy day, to the Department of Environmental Protection requesting we would be released from 6 parcels. That was 3 FSU, 3 FAMU. They have both institutions got contacted by the DEP, both acknowledged their interest in those parcels, and that process continues. My understanding is the next step is I will get a formal letter from the DEP, if not this week, maybe next week. Again, just formalizing what we've already shared. After I agree to that on behalf of the RDA, a letter will go then to FAMU and to FSU. They will have to do the same exercise formally. And then at some point soon after that, those parcels will be moved. And remember, it's a parcel. It's not really a build. Obviously, the building goes with the lot, but the descriptions are all legal descriptions of the land. They will transfer from our lease to their lease. And so at the end of that, which I think will be within 30 days of today, again, this is my first time doing this, but based on my conversation with the DEP, Kevin's got actual experience doing this, that really by the end of the month of August, I expect that's those 6 parcels to be transferred. That will be all of the transfers to FAMU, and it will be a start on the transfer process to Florida State. Florida State, we've got, as you can imagine, we've still got the lab to deal with. We've got Danfoss, we've got Avalanche, we've got ponds, and we've got roads. So there's different complications, frankly, with all of those, and their decision have been made. Let's go with the simplest ones first, and we'll work our way to the hardest ones.
Great idea. So no bumps, no unexpected bumps.
Not with these so far, right? Let's see. Leasing, just a brief leasing update. CareerSource did give their notice. They're moving out at the end of August. FSU did sign a lease with us for all the vacant space in Morgan and Johnson at $18,000 a month, which started in June. And then MagCorp added another office in Collins, of course, subject to a 30-day kickout. And Tallahassee Robotics Club just tacked on another office. They all know and recognize every lease I've drafted says that it's a two-way 30-day notice. So if FAMU takes it over and wants them out, they can give them 30 days notice. I don't know how fast FAMU will move when they take the building over, but they'll have the flexibility of leaving them in place or asking them to move out. The only exception would be the Knight building across the street. I worked with Dale Wesson of FAMU. He wanted or was willing to let Meeker and those guys stay another year. So I have renewed that lease for another year, but that is with FAMU's full knowledge of that exercise. I talked to them before I did that. Nice to have somebody in the building. Park cleanup and insurance. We have had calls with our insurance folks. We were on the phone this week with FEMA, last week with FEMA. There is a lot of work to do. I had been led to believe, perhaps my own naivety, that they would show up right after the storm a couple days later with a checkbook. That has not been what's materialized. We've had lots of people come looking. We've had lots of people looking at roofs, lots of different opinions depending on who they represent, right? If they represent the insurance company, they think the roofs are not that bad. Anyway, FEMA, we were getting engaged with FEMA because they will cover what gets denied from an insurance perspective. Again, as you can imagine, there's only nine. I thought the EDA had a lot of forms. It turns out FEMA really has a lot of forms. Anyway, Stephanie's great. She's helping work through that, obviously, and she's leading it. And that process will probably going to go beyond August 30. So we'll have to paper up something between us and the universities to make sure that we're still responsible, or at least document how we're going to handle all of those things post-transfer, because they'll exist. I do not imagine they'll all be resolved, and we'll just have to stay involved until they're resolved. The magnitude right now of the roofs and the pond trail is probably in the $300,000 to $400,000 total issue. That includes cleanup. The pond's an interesting one because you've got to bring it back into compliance. You've had stuff run into the pond. You've got trees in the pond. So there's a cleanup in the pond. There's a cleanup of regrading all around the pond, the trail itself, because they ran big equipment in there to get the trees out of the way, which all of a sudden, what was an 8-foot, I'm making this up, 8-foot wide path is now about a 20-foot wide path. Mm-hmm. And there's stumps in the middle of it. So we've really got it closed. So anyway, there's work to do. And I think other than that, the only thing we had here is that we have an open Board of Governors.
Question on that.
Go ahead.
When do you expect the county to act on those recommendations that have been provided to them?
There is a meeting that is scheduled. I'm remiss in not being able to tell you the date. I'm on the committee. We're going to have, I don't remember what the date of that meeting is, but it's.
They did schedule and do something to have a committee to approve.
So it's moving.
It is moving.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I missed the last meeting. So we have candidates.
A candidate.
We have one candidate. The new director of the Mag Lab will be joining us as a board member.
Okay.
And I have been nominated to serve another term.
Okay.
Is there anyone else that's filling in?
Tom.
Tom has also been.
And I'm still just tagging on. Yes.
Yeah, you weren't up. Yours. You weren't at an expiration date.
Yeah.
Tom and Dave were.
Okay.
Your requirement.
Yeah.
With the addition of the Mag Lab. Is it a MagLab person?
Director.
New director.
And the new director is?
Kevin.
Right. Okay. I've heard that name. Is that a full complement of trustees?
Okay. Governors.
Yes.
We don't have all the alternates. All right. A lot of them, you know, alternates have not been named for certain things.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, all of us need to.
I consider you a permanent member.
Yeah. They're
not the alternate anymore. It's too late.
Other people as well.
Right.
Good.
As we move forward.
Anything else on that? All right. So the next item is my report. My report is just to say thank you. Particularly Michael, Bill, Aini, you guys have done a tremendous amount of work in a season of incredible change. You have made it easy for this board to support you because of the work that you're doing. And when 10 years from now, 20 years, 30 years from now, when we look back at what happens in terms of the innovation and the research environment of our community, and we see what the universities are doing and how they're leveraging Innovation Park, but we're going to be able to look back at what transpired over this period of time, and we're going to see that this was a substantial milestone. So as staff, you guys have done a tremendous job, and certainly when you look into a change like we did, as we've stepped into this, and from the front end looking into this and not really understanding exactly how and where it'll play out, you guys have been fantastic. And so we're very appreciative, and that this board owes you a debt of gratitude. Brian, as this is probably your last meeting officially on the board, you have left indelible fingerprints on this. Thank you for your heavy lift. We appreciate what you've done, particularly as it relates to this building. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. I mean, it was a total honor to serve with you guys on the board. I've learned a lot and really enjoyed the opportunity, and really excited to see, you know, what this all becomes. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, Glenn, I'm getting old enough to be 95. Huh? I get a 30-year look back.
You won't even remember what this was.
And go ahead. So from some of the board members are newer board members. Some of our board members have been on this board for longer terms, and we've all seen the evolution of Innovation Park from very unique perspectives. But I'm excited about what is in front of our community as it relates to the research enterprise. And I think that the building that we're sitting in right now is it's a milestone. We're going to be able to see how this building impacts the research enterprise, and much appreciation to the hard work of this board.
I was going to say, but for this board, this building doesn't exist. That's a fact. But for the RDA, this building does not exist, and it's going to be a real asset. FSU is very excited about what the opportunities are. I did fail to mention that the next steps on some things, in particular the building, I have instructed our council, Melissa, to have a conversation with the EDA council next week to start to figure out what the process is for the transfer of the lab. Remember, we did the easy ones first. This one's more complex. You've got the EDA's money in the deal. You've got the requirements on reporting that have a 9-year lifetime. There's a forgiveness once you've done that. So that process has to start. Valerie McDevitt is going to be the key contact. She works with Stacey Patterson on that. She's out of the country right now, so I didn't want that conversation to start until she was back in and could take a phone call. Again, I don't know, predict the next step from the EDA, but I wanted at least to have our ducks in a row if the EDA said who at FSU is in charge and who do I need to speak with. So that conversation will start next week. And because we're really trying to get in front of avoiding a circumstance where all of a sudden it's that you're in default on a loan and then FSU is exercising some rights. So it would be better just to do this all in advance. And the hope is we can, as I mentioned, navigate this between now and the end of the year, frankly.
Any other comments on that? Do we have any new business?
Question, if I'm really new business. Did we get any follow-up from the request on Eisenhower?
Nope, nothing more.
Okay.
And I got OEV involved. I don't know if anything is right. I reached out to Sue yesterday. She has not heard anything. So, you know, we took a trip down there. We'll see.
They were in the front page.
They were in the paper yesterday.
Let me think about it yesterday, yeah.
But for the benefit of those who weren't aware of this, we had a company, Residential Elevators, that's looking for locations. They're looking in the park. I showed them Eisenhower. Sue Dick and I went down and visited their facility in Crawfordville, which is basically in a neighborhood, and they're cranking out 60 elevators a week in a neighborhood. It's clean. It's technical.
Technical.
I mean, there's all sorts of innovation they're doing. And it would be a great company to have in or near the park doing what they cannot hire anymore people in Crawfordville. They want a new building. I was looking to maybe potentially use Eisenhower, bring in a private group that could build them a building and they would lease it. So those conversations, OEB was looking at how do you get something pad ready. I don't know where it stands other than I represented that if it's something that we could be a part of, I bring it to our board and say, is this something we wanted to participate in with raw land? The other option was to go talk and I offered to be the middleman. BAMU's got sites on campus. I would be happy to carry that water and initiate a conversation with FAMU on their behalf about getting this building a site here that FAMU would be the landlord on, but it hasn't moved anymore since then.
Well, are they in charge of the process?
They
stupid being, question, the company. Or has somebody from the public sector sort of taken it up to be?
No, I mean, residential elevator
they're,
drive.
They're still,
yeah, I mean, they've got money through whatever the oil spill horizon. They've got some money that McCulloch can give them a couple $1 million to stay down in Crawfordville. They've also got an operation in Cairo. They've got a total of almost 300 employees, not just in those two locations. Yeah. They're all over the Southeast, really. They also were looking in Jacksonville. They know they will lose all of their historical talent if they were to move to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. That's why Tallahassee is appealing. And as I suggested to Sue, I don't think I'm competing clean with Crawfordville because they can't give them the airport. They can't give them I-10. They can't give them the workforce. He can't run a second shift because of the neighborhood and he can't get the staff.
Yeah.
So they want a new building. They're not going to get that. So they're just things that we don't have to go apples to apples with some of these other markets because we have unique assets here that they could get. So, but we have to keep them interested. We have to act like, frankly, we're interested as a community and keep them around.
Is there a next step that we need to initiate?
Nope, I got nothing to ask you guys to do at this point. So I just wanted to represent to them, to the guy, to Vince, to Sue, to OEB, that we're happy to try and see if there's a way we can help. We'd love to consider it. And I just ended up in charge of that because he called and asked to speak to me. And I just followed up with him and took him around. That's how I got involved.
All right. Any other questions? No. Anybody else?
The only thing I have is on the plaque. So, and I'm sorry, I really have not been focused on any of this, but blueprint, we never got any whatever, or is that
well,
under
blueprint
OEB?
Was initially in the title here, someone came back and said blueprint should be removed as they are part of the Office of Economic Vitality.
Oh, okay, well, that was exactly my question. So I'm good with that. Whoever.
Yeah. But yeah. A good point.
Okay. With that, unless there's another word, we stand adjourned.